Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 104. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Yo.
And it's the most exciting episode of the year. We're finally getting down to it. It's kind of our 2016 in review, featuring mainly our top 10 films. So let's just jump right into it. We'll have some other fun stuff at the end, but let's go, Chris. Hook me up with your number 10.
My number 10 is Star Trek Beyond.
I did not see it yet.
It's the third movie in the rebooted Star Trek universe. Chris Pine, Zachary Quinto, Carl Urban, I think. It's just a fun Star Trek movie. I am not a huge Star Trek fan, but this one, it's quite good. It's, I think it's up there with that first J.J. Abrams one. Just liked it a lot. It's a good action sci-fi movie.
Nice. I was going to ask you like where it ranks for you, but you gave the answer. Also, I want to say it's the last on-screen performance from Anton Yelchin.
Yes. I think it was, yes. Because Green Room came out earlier in the year, so.
Yeah. All right, I have not seen it yet, so I can't speak to it, but I might get around to it. I mean, that's pretty high praise put up there. My number 10 is a movie that on some people's lists that I've heard, and I had someone come up to me at work and say, if that's your number 10, I don't know, I would love to see what your number one is, because the movie's great. And that movie is Hell or High Water. Did you get to this one yet, Chris?
No. No, that's the... Chris, is that a Chris Pine?
Yeah, Chris Pine and Ben Foster, who is like criminally underrated, great in everything he does. Jeff Bridges as the sheriff trying to chase these two brothers who are robbing banks to help pay for their mortgage. It is just a badass like cops and robbers type movie.
Okay,
I mean, there's not a whole lot to it beyond that, except great performances. Dialogue, just wonderful lines. It's a movie that if you watch it probably more than once, you'll start quoting it. It kind of also felt like I had a bit to say about like our current economy. It's like a fun little like action thriller with like and just a little bit more intelligence than you might expect from that type of movie. It's really good, dude. You'll enjoy it once you see it.
Yeah, it's on my list.
Chris, what's your number 9?
Green Room. I have a feeling we're going to be talking a little bit about this a little later. So, it's just a really solid thriller. Well done all the way through. Great performances. Kind of takes a twist or two that you don't necessarily expect. Like some people that you think would live don't. So,
yeah.
It's a fun movie.
And we will be talking about it a bit more at some point here. Have you gotten to see it again since you've seen it in the theater, or is that the only time?
I only saw it that first time. So
I've seen it like 5 or 6 times now.
All right,
I like it. You'll be
obviously.
all right. Well, my number 9 is the criminally underrated by Chris movie, The Nice Guys, which I remember you liked it, but you were not like blown away by it.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was okay. I wasn't like, I didn't think it was great, but yeah, it was okay. Yeah.
You're wrong. It's okay. It's okay to be wrong, but no. I mean, generally, like this is a movie that kind of bombed. It was like a summer movie that just nobody went and saw, which is I thought strange. It had a good, it had funny previews. I love the movie. Like I thought it was, and it was one that I told you, like, I think will like get funnier the more times you watch it. I have not gotten to watch it again, but I just first experience with it and just remember like thinking that. And right. Just like a lot of other people that we know have seen it, are like kind of had the same reaction as me. And I just think it's one of the best comedies of the year. Like it might not strike you like hard the first time you see it, but I think one day Chris will come around, but I think most people, you know, general reaction of it is like, whoa, I should have went and saw this movie because it's actually good. I don't know what to say about it other than that. It's just like, it's got like a cool like plot to it, but it's just total goofiness and hijinks with Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe.
They're not like likable guys, but they are like, they're despicable people, but they are likable guys, I guess.
Describe it. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, like Ryan Gosling's this total kind of a bum drunk who's like, he's such a fuck up that his daughter has to drive him around. I remember that.
Yeah. His daughter basically takes care of him.
His daughter, who's like 11, who should not be driving a car.
Exactly.
They're just bumbling idiots, and you'll see some of that in the previews. Like, there's like a part where they're like, oh, we have to get rid of this corpse, and they throw it over a fence and it falls down onto this like wedding party that's like in the other yard or whatever. I don't know. It's just, it's goofy. And you know, it's written by the guy that wrote Lethal Weapon. I wouldn't say it's exactly like that, but kind of in that vein, and a type of movie that we don't see that often, like the buddy cop type movie. Right. Right. These are not cops. So that's my number 9. And we got to get to your number 8 now.
My number 8 is Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. It's kind of like a true comedy. It's a Tina Fey. She plays a reporter in Afghanistan during the war, and it kind of follows her time there. And it's I thought it was really well done. I really liked the performances in it. The story's actually pretty good. Everybody is enjoyable in that movie. And it's just really hit well with me. Thought it was a very good look and, you know, a fun look at some bad shit.
Yeah, you know what? I remember you gave it a positive review, but when I saw it on your list, it did surprise me. I was like, wow, I didn't realize he liked it that much. I think you probably rated it a 4, I would imagine.
I think I rated it a 4.
I'm going to have to check it out, because even though you said it back then that it was good, like I was just kind of like, yeah, I'd like to see it one day. But to have it in your top 10, I think says something. So
yeah, I liked it a lot. Tina Fey really she's really good most of the time, but she really holds that movie all the way through. And Margot Robbie's in it. She's really good. And it's just it's a fun movie that deals with some really, you know, topical things, because the Afghan war is still kind of going on.
What was that Jonah Hill movie this year?
War Dogs.
Yeah, War Dogs. So like that, but good.
Yeah. Like it tells the true story of like, you know, these, like she was an actual reporter over there. But it's just like this, like the absurdity of a female reporter being over there and dealing with this stuff. So
is it like based on a book that reporter wrote or something?
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay.
What's your number?
We'll get to it. My number 8 is one that kind of like came out of nowhere. It just popped up on Netflix, and I was like, oh, I like that cast, and what is this? Why is it rated so high? Like, what the fuck is this? And that is Other People. Jesse Plemons and Molly Shannon.
Okay.
And it's one that I reviewed not last week, the week before, recently. Kind of already said my piece on it, but it's just – it's first time writing and directing from an SNL writer, head writer. So this is his first like movie he's doing. And it's just like a combination of very smart and funny and incredibly, incredibly sad and depressing. It's about a guy who is a writer for SNL to take care of his mom while she's dying, as well as resolve problems with his dad. It's just a very true to life. It's just a look at something that's an uncomfortable topic that people will not talk about, and most people can't fathom what it's like to go through something like that. And this kind of shows it in what feels like an honest fashion. I have not gone through like knowing someone's gonna die or watching a disease kill somebody, but that movie sure made me feel like I went through it. It's a rough one watching for the performances, for the writing, and just, I mean, just to expand your horizons a bit on shit that people go through, I guess. But right. It's a tough one. It's not one you're not gonna be having a fun like date night with that one.
Got it.
All right, Chris, what's your number seven?
My number seven is Captain America Civil War. Is the like 27th Marvel movie to come out in 7 years or so. I don't know. It's basically the Avengers 3. Like it just splits the Avengers off. It takes a kind of a well-regarded comic book storyline of the last few years. And it puts it on film. And it does a pretty good job, I thought. You know, that movie is held together by Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. and their conflict between each other. But it's filled with, like, some really fun moments. The Spider-Man and Ant-Man and the big battle at the airport. Which, honestly, like, you could take that out and that movie still works, but that entire sequence is a ton of fun. And
it's kind of like the centerpiece, though. It is like, yeah. That is the sequence in the movie.
Yeah. And I think it's also the best Avengers movie. Like,
yeah, for sure.
It just really works. Like they came up with a plot that makes sense, and it was smaller stakes. Maybe than the other Avengers movies, which makes it a little bit more relatable and grounded, which makes it a better movie, I think. So,
yeah, it did not make my top 10, but there's a lot to like about it. All the things you said, including that like smaller stakes thing, where it kind of has a twist ending. We're not gonna give it away here, even though everyone's probably seen it. But like the ending, when you find out what it's really all about, it's a neat twist. It's about something very small,
right?
And that, like, comic book stories need more of that. Like, the whole blowing up the world thing is not as interesting as what they did here. And
no, like, this is far more interesting than anything in those other two Avengers movies.
Yeah, I do think, like, it kind of wrestles with Winter Soldier for being the best, like, Marvel, or at least in this kind of, you know, kind of universe. But, yeah, out of the Avengers movies, I don't know. And then I think I do prefer this over Winter Soldier. It's a tough one, but like it's Spider-Man, like you said, the fight at the airport, and I really did enjoy the ending, even though it's like one of those crazy convoluted things where the guy who planned it would have had to like predict how everything, like everyone would react to everything and stuff. Yeah. Like,
like if one thing had gone differently, the whole thing was
it's
bad.
It's like the same thing with Batman versus Superman. But yeah, like, yeah, all around, I really liked it. So yeah, that's your number seven.
Yep. What do you got at number seven?
My number seven is Hunt for the Wilder People, which is just a like kind of irresistibly charming movie about a kid who gets adopted by this family and ends up like with the adopted father kind of running away into the wilderness while like authorities are trying to take the kid back to an orphanage. And that sounds like heavy, but like there are heavy moments in the movie for sure. But generally this is just like good lighthearted entertainment, and the little kid in the movie is great. I forgot the actor's name, but he's really good in it.
Julian Dennison.
Okay, and then the guy, what's his name? Sam Neill?
Sam Neill, yeah.
Yeah, you know, the chemistry between them is great. It's a movie that, like, might get emotional reaction out of you without, like, going the super heavy route. It's because it's so light and because it's funny that when it gives you, like, those emotional punches, I think they connect, like, pretty hard. And but like that's not the reason. Like the reason I watch this movie is because watch together. The kid is funny as hell. It's in funny dialogue. It's from Taika Waititi, I want to say I said that right. I'm not looking at IMDb. I'm doing this all by memory.
That's what IMDb says. So.
Who did like this vampire movie before that called like What We Do in the Shadows? I think it's called. I'm doing this all by memory, so if I fuck it up, no one can yell at me. And you know, also I guess worked on Flight of the Conchords, and so that might give you a clue to the type of humor you're getting. But like, yeah, I can't recommend this enough. It's one that's like super easy to recommend. Kind of come back and be like, what the fuck was that? Like, people are gonna walk away from this movie happy, like I'm happy that they watched it. So if you have not seen it yet, get down to it.
Good.
Chris, number six.
You are at number six. My number six is I don't think you enjoyed this one that much. But I have The Jungle Book at number six.
That surprised me as well. Like, really surprised me. I was like, what?
Mostly from like, I mean, as a like acting or whatever, it's fine. But like as a technical showpiece, it is fucking phenomenal. Like the entire thing is CG outside of like the boy, and everything looks like the entire fucking movie. It diverges a little bit from the standard Jungle Book. I actually think it's better than the original Jungle Book. Which I was never a huge fan of, but this one, there's some good action sequences in it. As I said, the CG is fantastic. Like Shere Khan is actually terrifying. Like you wouldn't want to come across that fucking tiger. King Louis is actually quite, he's also quite scary. And that, like he's a huge like gorilla orangutan. It's just nasty. Like Baloo is fun. Like that the voice work they got was great. It was Bill Murray does Baloo. Ben Kingsley is like Bagheera. Idris Elba is Shere Khan. Like it just, I think it works all across.
Wasn't it like Christopher Walken did the big? Yeah,
Christopher Walken did King Louis. Scarlett Johansson did Ka the Snake. Like it's just great. Great cast, great use of that cast, and I thought it was really well done. Like it's just a technical marvel.
I am so surprised. Like just because when I reviewed it, I was just very much like whatever, fuck this movie, and like you didn't push back that much. So like when I saw it come so high on your list, I was like, damn, dude, you really like that? Like I was shitting all over his fucking movie there.
I could see where people wouldn't like it, like, but just like from somebody who is like a huge fan of like animation and CG, like they nailed it with this, like, because there are movies that try and do shit like this on a smaller scale and can't succeed, and everything in this movie looked great.
Yeah, to be fair, like I wasn't totally shitting on it, and I don't think it does anything super wrong. I just felt like it was standard fare. Like if you take away the like technical achievement of it, like, you know, and you're just left with like, what is the story? What is the movie? What are the beats? Like, sure. I just felt like
it's the Jungle standard Book. Fare.
Yeah. So like that, like it's like the same thing when I was watching Kubo. It's like, I want to sit there and give him props for that. But like, to me, like story is king and
sure.
I don't know. It just felt very standard. But, I mean, you're not alone, dude. You're definitely in the majority on the Jungle Book. So.
Well, it's weird because I kind of feel the same way about Kubo, but this one just kind of, like, resonated, I guess, more with me, so.
Okay.
What do you got at number six?
My number six is a huge change of pace from the Jungle Book. It's the Wailing.
That's definitely way different than the Jungle Book.
Yeah. This is the Korean epic horror thriller that you and I both reviewed recently. You were kind of like okay on it. I fucking was kind of blown away by it. I don't know. I just really love what Korean cinema has been doing. I mean, that's kind of generalizing because I have not seen a ton, but like everything I see, I'm like impressed by. And I just, as much as I like, I appreciate like short movies and, you know, keeping things concise, I also do appreciate that like Koreans are saying that you can make a like a horror movie that also works as a drama, and that's something we're lacking here for the most part. And I also just really dug, I don't want to spoil anything about this movie, but just the fact that you're kind of, it's like this mystery where you're lost most of the way, and you're not 100% sure where it's going, and it keeps going to crazier and crazier and crazier and crazier places as it goes, until you reach an ending where you're like, holy shit, like, oh my god, like, what is that? And then there's another final twist that, like, I still, we talked about it in our spoiler section, that I think that the movie doesn't quite earn, but doesn't ruin the movie in any way. Like, I think the like,
It's fine. And what's great about it is, because, like, so many movies just hand you everything on a plate. Like, if you are into this movie, there are message boards and forums, like, where people are like, delving into the, like, it's great. Like, I love to see that sort of passion for a movie. You know, even if it didn't quite resonate with me, like, that stuff is phenomenal. I love that.
Yeah, I heard, like, the horror movie podcast, which is another podcast I listened to. They were talking about this movie because it ranked in their top 10, as you can imagine, because they do horror movies.
Right.
And the guy there was just saying, like, he's like, I've seen the interpretation that most people have of the ending, and my interpretation is a little bit different. And it's like, you could have a very in-depth conversation about what the hell happened at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, I think it has its flaws at the end, but, like, I just appreciated a lot of what this movie is doing. And honestly, like, that one shot inside of a cave where you see a character with a camera, I think you'll know what I'm talking about. Yep. Like, kind of just, like, really, like, gave me goosebumps. I was just like, whoa, cool. So yes, we were going in that direction. So I if you're a horror movie fan, I mean, your mileage might vary. You might be more like Chris, where you thought it was just pretty good, or you might be like me, but it's worth seeing no matter what
for sure
think of it. Yeah. All right, so that's enough about the Wailing. I could probably go on about it forever, but we gotta get to the top half of our list now.
Yeah,
the real contenders here. Chris, number five.
My number five is Hush. It's a pretty standard slasher film. But it's just really fucking well done one. Like, it just and they do things with it. Like, it is one lady against a killer, and that is the entire movie for the most part. Like, there's a couple other people that die, but they are, like, ancillary. Like, it is this main character who is deaf, which allows them to play with sound and other aspects of it until she's able to fight back against this guy who is just really, really well done.
Yeah, the fact that she's deaf is a great twist. They do other things too, though. Like, this guy, he's like this masked killer, like, outside of the house. But very early on in the movie, he takes off his mask and he starts talking to her. Like, and killer personality, and, you know, that would be, like, in an 80s slasher movie like Halloween, that would be, like, sacrilege, like, you know.
Right, because
they do it here and it works.
He's not the Shade, he's not Jason, he's not, like, I mean, the closest comparison, like, 80s slasher would be Freddy, but, like, only because Freddy does have a personality, but he is more like Jason and Michael Myers in the way he deals with things.
Yeah.
Like, it just, he happens to be a real person. Like,
yeah, but he is also very scary. Like, this movie, I mean, I'm surprised in the end it didn't make my top 10. It will be in my honorable mentions that we'll talk about, but, yeah, I'm happy it's on your list, because, and I'm happy it's so high, because, like, this movie, it's fantastic. Like, it's simple, it's back to basics, there's nothing, like, amazing about it, like, in terms of, like, it's not reinventing the wheel, it's just going, I'm going back to basics, and we're going to have this cool little twist that she's deaf, like, the main character's deaf, and we're going to play with that, we're going to have the killer talk, and, I mean, it did get noticed, and for a movie that went kind of straight to Netflix, you know, you had Stephen King out there saying, like, comparing it to 1978's Halloween. Like, that, there's no higher honor than that. So, it's a badass movie. And Michael Flanagan, supposedly in talks to do Halloween. We'll see how that goes. But like, if there was someone I would trust to try to do Halloween, it would maybe be him.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has a feel for it at least.
Yeah, I would be worried though, because he kind of did Halloween here, but like his version of it, and so like, how does he go back to doing the template that John Carpenter created with like the shape and make that interesting again? I don't know, but like,
I'm interested. I don't want to spend too much time here, but his next movie is Gerald's Game.
Okay.
Based on the Stephen King book. I am really interested to see how they adapt that. So
I hope it works out. I remember liking the book. I mean, I was like 12 when I read it, but there's a lot of cool things in that.
Yeah.
And he also did that Ouija movie that came out this fall, which I heard is not bad at all.
I heard that one's pretty good. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, in the same vein as Hush, right in the same genre and everything, I have Zootopia as my number 5.
Okay.
Not at all in the same Shutter, but
yeah, I'm trying to draw the correlation there. I don't see it.
No, we're going back to kids movies. And this is easily the best kids movie, quote unquote, of the year. I mean, we've talked this movie to death this year. It was our first 5-star, like dual 5-star rating. It's been kind of one of those ones that like movies would have to knock down throughout the year. It's great. It's a great Disney movie. I think they kind of usurp fucking Pixar at this point for how good it is. And on top of that, it coincidentally came out with a message that was very fitting to the year that it came out in. We had a presidential candidate who tried to divide people by race, and we had a movie that was about that. So, a kid's movie, cartoon, animated film about that. It was like strangely prophetic or something. Like, it was like just the timing couldn't be better on that. The message it has is a movie that, or a message that like little kids should be taught. So for all those reasons, and just the fact that it's just a funny, like, just very good movie, and it has that damn sloth joke in it, it's my number 5. It literally is. It is like a kind of flawless animated movie. Like, I guess the only bad thing I can say is I don't like the song in it, but. Oh well,
the Shakira song.
Yeah, I don't like it. It has not grown on me whatsoever. Like, I didn't like it at first, and I still don't like it.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like tolerable, but yeah.
That's my number 3. So yeah, it's everything that that Jeff kind of just said. It works really, really well. So it was our first dual 5-star.
Yeah,
just an excellent all the way around. Like the relationship between Hops and the Fox there, it works really well, and the messaging and everything, really, really good. So,
yeah, and you know what? I think it might have been our only dual 5-star of the year, possibly. I don't know.
That might be.
I mean, if you think of it, let me know. But I can't think of one.
I mean, I didn't give a lot of 5-stars out over the course of the year.
You're stingy, and I'm going to copy you on this coming year. Just wait, watch. I'm a tough critic.
Yeah, I think I did not have another 5-star until December. So, yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate what you did with that, because, like, honestly, like, I have no problem giving out 5-stars, but like sometimes when I think about it, it feels weird to have 5-stars in the same category with movies like Shawshank Redemption, The Wrestler. Like, those movies, they are, you know, 100% for sure 5-star, and then just have something you think is pretty good next to it. I don't know. I think you get what I'm saying, maybe.
Yeah.
But you want to reserve it for the queen of the
stuff that, like, the ones that are really special, like the stuff that, like,
yeah.
You would, not that you wouldn't go back to like 4-star movies or even 3-star movies, but like this is stuff, like, if you had a choice, like, these are the movies that you would take with you.
Yeah, like, these might come in your, yeah, or they'll be in your collection, or they're ones that you're going to be watching 20 years from now. They'll be remembered.
Yep.
Anyways.
What do you got at number three?
Did you say you're number four?
That was number four. Okay. That was okay. Yep.
No,
that was your number five.
Yeah,
jumped way ahead. I was jumping up. Jumping two numbers over.
Four.
My number four is 10 Cloverfield Lane. The follow-up to Cloverfield, a movie that I liked but did not love. I think Cloverfield is a good it's a good found footage movie.
Yeah, this is a different beast for the most part. Like it's kind of its own thing.
It takes place in the Cloverfield universe, I guess, but this is mostly just like a tense thriller, and for most of it you don't know what the fuck is going on. Like it is three people for the most part stuck in a bunker. Mary Elizabeth Winstead is like the main character. She gets in a car accident and she wakes up in this bunker, chained to the wall, I believe, with John Goodman, this guy Howard, and then there's this other like younger guy, Emmett, who lives there as well. And it kind of chronicles like everything that happens from that moment on, and the paranoia and the craziness that set in, and like, oh shit, like John Goodman's actually fucking crazy and he's keeping her locked away here right up until the end, which I felt worked because like it was like, holy shit, yes, like he was right. So
yeah, I liked it all along, honestly. I don't know why like I didn't love it as much as most people did. Like I appreciate the movie. I understand your its placement on your list. I understand why everyone loved it. I really can't say anything bad about it. Like, I'm not taking away from it at all. It's just, I don't know why I did not love it quite as much, but man, like I movie, and I think it was first time director, maybe.
Yeah. Dan Trachtenberg had never directed a full length feature. He had done some shorts before. weird kind of bump here, but he used to do a show, the Totally Awesome Show or something with with a couple guys that Jeff Cannata and those guys. He used to do that. He used to do that show, and I guess he was tapped. I guess he met J.J. Abrams, and like J.J. Abrams thought that, hey, he had done this short, and some commercials as well, and he was like, hey, like I like your style, and gave him a shot here doing this movie, and it worked out. I think it came out really, really well. So.
Like his command of the performances and the tension, just the technical artistry of it all, like very impressive for first time. Like I can't wait to see what he does next. John, you know, a lot has been said about John Goodman. He's great in it. Like it'd be awesome if he got a nod. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, I love her. Funny side note, I turned on the TV the other day and Final Destination 3 was on. She's the star of that. I don't know if you remember that, but
really,
yeah, she's like the main character. Yeah, dude. So I like kept watching because she was in it. I was like, oh man, cool.
Yeah, wow, dude, it was before, like 10 years ago.
Yeah, before Scott Pilgrim. Really
big, yeah.
Yeah,
because Scott Pilgrim was where she kind of really hit it, right? Like, well,
I mean, that's where I noticed her. Okay, and I had seen Final Destination 3, so I don't know what to say except that. Sorry, Mary Elizabeth Winstead. I noticed you later, but
she's also a weird fun fact. But she is John McClane's daughter in the Die Hard series, starting with Live Free or Die Hard, like where the kids actually
get out.
Yeah, so she played Lucy, the one who was kidnapped in that movie.
I've seen that one like two or three times.
And then she reappears in A Good Day to Die Hard, which is terrible. But like she's in at the end of that movie as Lucy as well. So,
wow.
And she was evidently in that weird movie that you saw with Swiss Army Man, right? She was in that.
Yeah, kind of. We'll talk about that.
You know, Yeah. All right. Where are we at? Four?
My number four, yeah. My number four is The Invitation, the second best horror film of the year, in my opinion. It's a real slow burn about this guy who is going to a dinner party, but you're just kind of left wondering all the time what's going on, because it's like his ex. It's like the lady he used to be married to, and he's getting invited to this party at their old house with her new boyfriend slash husband, whatever, and all these people he doesn't know. And he just is very suspicious the whole time, and you're kind of left wondering, like, is this guy, like, just, like, paranoid and going through some sort of mental breakdown, or is there something really off with this dinner party for real? And the movie walks that line for a good 80% of it. And I think for some people that whole part could be slow a little bit, but I was fully engrossed. I loved it. It could have went any direction from there. The direction it ends up going is both satisfying and then, like, kind of, like, overachieving near the end, where it's just like, whoa, when you start to realize the full scope of what is going on. It just has a brilliant final shot slash final twist that is just, like, up there in top 10 twists of all time, I think. And it just really kind of put that movie over the top from being, I thought, like, a really solid movie to, like, essential horror watching, if you're a horror fan. And I think, honestly, if you are okay with slower narratives, that, like, this has appeal outside of horror fans. I think, like, you could just be into movies in general and really dig. I mean, at the very least, you got to appreciate the fucking twist at the end of this movie. It's so good.
The twist is very, very good.
Yes. That's all we're going to say on it, because if you have not seen it, I mean, rectify it. It was on Netflix. It probably still is. I don't know, but watch it, Chris. Number three. We're getting down to the real deal here.
Well, number three is I have Zootopia there, which we've talked about. Excellent animated movie. Talked this movie to death.
Yeah. It's good, guys.
Yeah.
You probably all know it, especially if you have kids. But if you don't have kids, fucking watch
it. Still good. It's on Netflix. Like, yeah.
Fuck, I should watch it again. I totally forgot. All right. My number three is also on Netflix. It is 13th, and that is a documentary about the 13th Amendment, and essentially kind of about Black history in America, and kind of drawing a clear line from slavery to where we are today, where of young Black men, essentially. It's kind of things that I kind of already knew and I kind of already agreed with, but just put in a very comprehensive, very smart package. Kind of a standard type documentary, which is people talking to a camera explaining shit, but it really paints a picture of kind of injustice in our country. And it was also a very clear warning against Donald Trump. But it's not easy on the Clintons either. I can't remember if you saw this or not, Chris.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, I thought you did for some reason. It's worth checking out. It's easily the best documentary I've seen of the year. And this is a year that had some great documentaries. I don't care where you are politically. There are parts of it that will enrage you and just make you be like, how could they do? I mean, there's a guy who gets thrown in jail for nothing and left in jail for like months, and he gets abused, and then you're just like, how the fuck does this happen in America? But apparently it's a very American thing, and it's something we're still dealing with. And, it speaks to a lot of things that are very clear. Black Lives Matter reached like a boiling point and kind of unrest around that subject. Like, this is a year where you had people, you saw people getting killed, on camera in your living room. And then like within the same week, people shooting at cops and down in Dallas. And the movie covers all of that as well. Like, it leads right up to the second it was released. It's remarkable work. It's definitely worth watching. I don't care what you believe. Give it a shot. Even if you have Netflix, there's nothing to lose. If you don't like it, turn it off. But
right.
Yeah. All right, on to number two, Chris.
All right, number two. Well, I mean, I'm just gonna say it. It's Rogue One. Like, I don't. I mean, it's we're probably not surprised that a Star Wars movie is at the top of my list here. But yeah, I really like that movie a lot. Seen it twice. I may actually go see it a third time tomorrow with some friends that haven't seen it yet. I recognize its faults for sure, but I think it works really, really well. I think it's a fun movie. It's kind of what I've always wanted out of a side story in the Star Wars universe. So
I think you're crazy. I understand it. But at least, I think we are both in agreement that it's not like the best Star Wars, like not,
no,
some of the reviews were way too hyperbolic, but
I wasn't against it. I probably put it like fifth. Like,
yeah, that's exactly where I put it too, but I can't give it five or put it up on my list. I mean, it's good. It's fine. It'll be interesting to watch again after the passing of Carrie Fisher, but I'm more looking forward to episode eight. But
yep, that's later this year. I've already bought Rogue One. Like, it's already waiting for me to download. So
nice. All right.
What's your number two?
My number two, we reviewed last week, and it is La La Land. I thought I might like it going in based on I love Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone, and I love Damien Chazelle's
yes.
First movie, Whiplash. So like it had all those things going for it, but it also had – I'm not a huge musical fan. Like, I think I could name you one musical I love, and that is Once from a couple years ago, and that's not a totally conventional musical at all. Have you seen Once?
I don't think so.
Okay, that's not what you would think of as a musical. Like, it doesn't have the big showy numbers. It's like basically these two musicians falling in love, and they're like writing songs together. So it's technically a musical, right? But it's not right. Like what you would think of. So, you know, I'm not the target audience of this movie, but goddamn it, just like I said about Hunt for the Wilder People, this movie's just fucking charming. It just, it's kind of irresistible. Like, unless you like have a heart of stone, you're gonna enjoy yourself with it. And I found the whole thing to be like just kind of a breath of fresh air, like kind of the anti-2016 movie where it's like, hey, good, fun, old fashioned movie, and just have it be like greatly entertaining, like just a fun time at the movies. Like, go out, bring a date, go see it with a bunch of people. And it, like, it's funny because it's successful. Like, this is a movie that started on so many screens and they keep expanding it because people are showing up for it. Like, there's something out there. It's providing something that people are actually hungry for. They might not even have known it. I'm kind of rambling on about it, but I fucking loved it. I love the music in it. I love the performances. I love Emma Stone. It has a great ending. It has, yeah, I think I kind of have I sufficiently...
I think you've gotten it all there. Yeah, I really like La La Land. It did not make my list because I had kind of finalized my list before the end of the year.
Mm.
But it's really good. Surprisingly, though, so it swept everything at the Golden Globes.
It won everything it was nominated for.
Yeah.
All seven.
Yeah. Which probably points towards it having a very good run at the Oscars. But so I went, my dad, who is, he's approaching 80 now. I was like, hey, like, you know, I know you're not getting out a whole lot, but like when this comes out on DVD, you should get mom to take you, like, should get her to pick it up for you. And I guess my mom went with my grandmother to see it. And she's like, you know what? I didn't like it. Like, really? Like, and she's like, and your grandmother didn't like it either. I was like, all right, well, I mean, whatever. And then I talked to somebody.
You never can tell.
No. Then I talked to somebody at work who, like, huge fan of, like, she's gone to see Debbie Reynolds, like, live while she was still alive, like as an older person. And she was like, yeah, me and my friend, we didn't really like it. Like, it was okay. It's like.
you want to hear something funny? Like, my girlfriend was telling me that there's people at her work that go to see like every movie, like huge, huge movie people, right? Mm-hmm. And like she told me before we went to go see it, like that they said it sucked. And I was like, well, here's the thing. Your friends are idiots and this movie's going to win a bunch of awards. And like, I've seen the, it's definitely not bullshit. And I ended up being correct on that. But yeah, it's funny. Like you just, you don't know. Some people are just, it just doesn't click, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think I mean, we talked about it when we reviewed, like, not all the music clicked with me. Like, it resonated very much with you.
Yeah.
I did go back and, like, I was looking because, like, when we talked about it, was City of Stars, is that the one that won the song?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not the one that was in my head. Like, mine is actually, like, just Mia and Sebastian's theme, like, that which they reuse. And I guess it's part of City of Stars, but... That's the one that kind of like resonated with me, which doesn't even have any words. So.
You should really listen to the first two songs. Somebody in the crowd, I'm telling you, it'll grow on you if you let it. But yeah, I love that movie and it really, it almost overtook my number one spot. That's how much I liked it. So I think we've come to the moment.
We have.
Chris, what's your film of the year?
My film of the year is Arrival. Amy Adams, Jeremy Renner as a mathematician and a linguist that are tasked by the United States military to go and kind of do first contact with this thing that has landed over Montana. And it's just really, really well done. It deals with some great themes. It's a slow burn sci-fi movie. It's a smart sci-fi movie. Yeah, it's just, it nails it on every level. And like, there's a really cool twist, which you will see come into focus. And when it hits, like, it's really cool. So, really, really great movie.
Also a movie that I think you've said this, and I think that I've heard other people say it, like really will have you thinking about it afterwards and like thinking about its implications, like what it's trying to say about humanity or whatever. And like, dude, that's what you want out of great sci-fi. Like
It leaves you with questions.
Wait. Yeah. I will not get to see this till February when it comes out on DVD, and I might just do a blind buy on it. Honestly, I want to see it so bad. I just fucked up and I missed it at the theaters, but honestly, from what I've heard, I would not be surprised if it overtook my number one. I guess we'll get to that in a second, but yeah, I unfortunately could not see it, but a great sci-fi movie that is you know something that's smart and quiet and makes you think is rare, and also something to be like treasured, like so.
Yeah,
I don't know if you wanted to add to that anymore.
No, it's like people should watch it.
Yeah. Well, kind of switching gears a lot is my number one movie. Tried to warn us that the Nazis were coming. It's not what you would typically think of as like a best movie of the year, but I'll tell you this. You can watch the damn thing over and over and it's still badass every time in the same way like a lot of your favorite like movies are, you know? Like it's one that like I'm sure I'll watch again this year at some point. Like, and it's very simple. It's punks versus Nazis in a fucking club. After this punk band performs there, they go back into like their dressing room type thing and witness a murder. And so that the people that own the club who are Nazis keep them in there and are trying to kill them for 90 minutes while this band who we're on the side of is trying to escape. I love the cast of it. Like I love, Anton Yelchin, rest in peace. Like he's great in it. I can't think of her name, but the chick from Arrested Development, from Arrested Development. I can think of her character on that, but
is it the blonde or the curly hair?
No, one? the freckle, yeah. Like,
I'm drawing a blank.
Doesn't matter. It's maybe from Arrested Development. And just you kind of touched on it when you were talking about like that, like said when I first reviewed it, it feels like a movie where anything can and does happen. It doesn't feel like it's following by the rules. Like, anyone could die at any moment, and people that you don't expect to will die. And in very violent, very graphic, practical effect fashion, which you got to appreciate if you're like us. Besides that, the other thing I've touched on this a billion times, but I just really appreciate the writing of director Jeremy Saulnier, his confidence in us to figure it out and not over-explain things and not think that the audience is an idiot is something that's lacking in Hollywood. And like, on the one hand, like I don't get how this movie wasn't a huge hit, but on the other hand, it wasn't, because he was not willing to compromise and just let's dumb this down and explain it and make it more Hollywood and make it more like something like Don't Breathe. Let's have a big stupid turkey baster gag in there. No, this is just like hard. It's hardcore and raw, and people are gonna get fucking their faces ripped off, and like it's because of the violence and the intensity of the scares. It's like a horror movie. It is a horror movie essentially.
Yeah,
but it's one that like could appeal outside of the genre if you have the stomach for it. But like, it's just, at the end of the day, it's just an ultimately badass movie that like nothing, like it hit early on for me. It was what came out in like April maybe, and nothing has topped it since. Like, fuck, like it is probably in my top 20 of all time. Like, I love Green Room, and everyone who is a genre fan needs to check it out.
It's really good.
Nah, so yeah, so that, those are Chris's film of the year was Arrival. Mine was Green Room. See yep. them both as soon as you can. And with our last couple minutes here, because we are running out of time, we're just going to run down. Chris, biggest disappointment.
Biggest disappointment. The Witch.
Wow.
Wow. Now okay. I didn't dislike The Witch. I think I gave it 3 stars. But I went in hoping for something so much more. And like, it's one of the reasons that maybe I pulled back on getting involved in the hype this year, because it was a movie yeah. that people are like, oh my God, it's so scary. And like, it's just a good movie. It's not, I don't know. I didn't find it to be great. And, yeah.
I guess I could see biggest disappointment if you bought into the hype, which I did, but I do appreciate The Witch, and it's actually one of my honorable mentions. Like, I the more I think about it, the more I like it. But
what's your most disappointing?
Similarly, mine, and there's absolutely almost no competition, like nothing that comes close. Blair Witch.
Ah.
You know how hyped I was for that.
Yep.
And oh my God. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. Chris, most underrated.
Whew. Most underrated. I'm gonna go with Hush here. Yeah, I don't think like it just like kind of just came out like just pushed out. I think we saw it on Netflix like first. Like
it was straight. It was literally straight to Netflix.
Yeah, like it's a movie that I think like just. Movie that should have been given more space, much like Green Room, like yeah. to succeed. So,
yeah, it got good reviews, but I could see where you come from with that, where it's just like no one really talks about. Like, yeah, people talk about like a special, but then why didn't it get any better treatment?
Yep.
My most underrated is Triple Nine. And okay. That movie, you know, I think your mileage might vary. Whatever. But it deserves better, in my opinion, than a 42% audience rating at Rotten Tomatoes. It's a badass cop flick. I know you weren't quite on board with me. I guess that's what I don't get. Like, I saw something in it, and other people did not. But it has, like, an awesome cast, and it's just a badass cop movie, like, crooked cop movie and shit. So if you're into that genre, I mean, dude, it's not The Shield, but it's not bad either. Give it a shot. Chris, most overrated.
Most overrated. People are going to hate me here, but I have Kubo and the Two Strings.
I thought you might have put The Witch in this one, but all right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. People really were all over Kubo, and it just did not resonate with me at all. Like, it's a beautiful looking movie, but it's just pretty generic in its storytelling. So,
yeah, I mean, I was with you on that. My most overrated is a movie that critics fucking loved for the most part, and I thought was trash, and that is Swiss Army Man. 90 minutes of farting corpse and supposedly some sort of message in there. I don't know what, but it's a movie that like wants you to feel these emotions that you might feel watching like a Charlie Kaufman or Spike Jonze movie, but it never works to achieve those. It just thinks that it could put a little montage and make you feel all those things, and no.
All right.
We're going to wrap this up on a very negative note. Worst movie of 2016.
All right. So I have two that I've rated one star, but I have to give it to Cabin Fever.
I knew it. I knew it was coming. What was the other one star?
The other one star was the Amityville Terror. But okay, that, I like, I expected that to be bad. And, like it's bad because it doesn't have a budget. And it was, like, Cabin Fever has zero reason to be bad. Like, it is a remake of a very good horror film. It is just absolute shit.
It has no reason to be.
Nope. Yeah. None at all.
My worst movie of the year is Dirty Grandpa, starring Robert De Niro. It's a movie that is not only like super, super offensive with like most of its humor. It doesn't even try to make jokes. Like, the movie, like, there is literally a part in it where the joke is, haha, you're a black guy. Haha, you're also gay. That makes it even funnier. Like, that's the joke. That's supposed to be the joke. And I'm like, I don't understand.
That's not a joke.
Or, like, Robert De Niro's jacking off. Like, there's a part where he's just jacking off, and his grandson walks in, and he just keeps jacking off and finishes off. He's like, it's not funny. Like, I love raunchy humor, don't get me wrong, and I think you can, there is a way to approach, you know, racial humor and stuff that is not like just out and out offensive and that's it. Like, it's not funny for someone just to be black. Like, you think of something clever then. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not like a prude, but like, come on, dude. Like, and it's just an embarrassing movie all around, like, to see this guy who's done movies like The Deer Hunter, Goodfellas, The King of Comedy, like on and on and on down the line, to be reduced to this and just not giving a fuck anymore about what he does and collecting a check. And like, if this was like his last movie, that would be just criminal. Like, you'd have to just find every copy and destroy it. It's that bad. There's like a laugh or two in it at best. Oh my God, the Nintendo Switch comes out on my birthday.
All right. So, let's wrap this up.
So that's it. That's our Movies of the Year podcast. I guess any honorable mentions you wanted to throw in before it all?
I mean, I have Midnight Special. Did not make my list. That was really good.
Yes, it was my number 11.
Deadpool's pretty good. Nerve. Nerve was one that I kind of was thinking about for underrated as well.
A little bit, but I don't know. I think it's still pretty standard. Yeah. No, we won't remember it.
But, yeah, that's about it. What do you got?
Just my big ones. One huge one was Midnight Special. Another one was a documentary called Audrey and Daisy that you can watch on Netflix. And Hush, which – oh, and The Witch. Those are my big ones. So we gave you a lot of movies to go check out if you have not seen them, and a couple to steer way clear of.
Yeah.
And we hope to bring you more this year. I hope it's as good a year as I think last year. I mean, I was hard on last year in terms of just general, like, everything sucked, and I thought video games sucked, but I thought movies were actually pretty good. Hope we do as well or better in 2017.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll be back next week, I guess.
We'll be back. Movie dudes.
Do 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 do.